This conversation was held on the 29th of February, 1976, in the home of Dave Saragino. Mr. Dave Saragino, who's the oldest of three Dave Saraginos, his wife Garrett is in the other room, and we're here to do an interview. And I was sort of wondering, this is kind of an interesting place here, you know, here nestled in the woods. Is all these trees yours?
Yes, that's, well, not that side. That belongs to Galbraith.
Uh-huh.
I've got another place on the other side of these trees. Up there, the old...
There's some down here on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I go clear across the rock creek down here over to that there, other place over there, Harkle Road place. You know where Dick Newman lives?
Oh, yeah.
Just this side of Dick.
Uh-huh.
But I'm on this side of the road.
So you're one of the, really, one of the first people, I suppose. I suppose you sold property here to everybody.
No. I bought this property in 1926.
Is that when you came here?
No, I came here in 1892.
1892?
Yeah, up at the other place.
Ah.
I still had a place up there.
And so you were born here at the other place?
No, I was born in Portland, but then they dropped me out here before I was a month old.
Ah.
So my,
yeah.
The rest of my brothers and sisters were born here.
How many do you have, brothers and sisters?
I have, four brothers and three sisters.
Are they still with
you? And makes me eight.
Huh? You got eight?
With the, in the family.
Uh-huh. So there's nine kids.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, one died when he was 11 years old, died of diphtheria.
Uh-huh.
That was in 1980.
Oh, there's only eight kids
now. Yeah, there's eight now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you made it through all those diseases. I know there was a polio epidemic going around.
Yeah, my family, they were, now there's three of us are up in the 80s, and three more are in the 70s, and then there's one going to be 70 next year, I guess. And the other one, you know Rich, don't you? Rich married the Langer girl?
No.
He's a tall guy, about tall as you are. He's about 63. He lives right up here, on the hill here. He's married to Gloria Lane.
Uh-huh.
He's the youngest, mind. He's 62.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, all of them, except the one that died in diphtheria.
Well, let's see now. Your parents then, where did they come from now? Are they?
Well,
is that where the family came over, or were they already here?
No. My father, he came from. He came here when he was 17 years old. And he came to Portland, I think, before the Civil War.
Oh.
Uh-huh, and he lived in Portland, but he didn't come out here till 1891.
Oh, I see.
1891.
There were some famous people around here.
No, there wasn't.
There was U.S. Grant was in Vancouver before the Civil War.
Yeah. When my father came to Portland, there was no railroads coming into Portland yet.
Oh.
Had to come by boat from San Francisco. Yeah.
And then he came from Italy then?
Yeah, he came from the very northern part of Italy, and my mother came from, she came from there too, that is, she was raised in Italy, but I think she was Swiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just probably don't know any relatives over there now.
No, we don't.
Pretty well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any of my... I have a lot of relatives in California, though.
Uh-huh.
That, on my father's side. Yep.
So he came over here all by himself when he was 17?
Well, he had a brother that was over here, was in San Francisco.
Oh.
He came there, and then he came to Portland.
So there's another side of the family running around in San Francisco?
Yeah.
There's
four or five different families down there.
Cousins to you, then.
Uh-huh. One of my cousins lives up here at Rick's, right at the foot of the hill there where that big walnut, silver orchard is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the owner of the Del Monte Meat Market in Portland.
Well, what kept him in Portland? Now, you say he came, your father
what kept my father in Portland?
Yeah.
And then he went in the garden business in Portland. He was in the garden business. He was they were the first gardeners in Portland. My father and he had two or three partners in with him.
Garden?
Uh-huh. Vegetable garden.
Vegetable.
Yeah.
And this is right in the city limits of Portland.
You mean?
You could actually raise a big garden. It must have been a pretty large garden.
Oh, yeah. They had, I think, five wagons going all the time. Then they shipped a lot of their garden stuff to Astoria and places like that by boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They made money at it. And they had some good customers at Oswego. They used to have smelters down there where they mined the ore out of that there.
Down at Lake Oswego?
Iron Mountain, they call it. Yeah.
Right. I didn't know that.
Didn't oh,
they?
Yeah.
This is, what were they smelting? Iron,
uh-huh. Yeah. And putting all of the timber around here that was cut here, I can remember some of it. The Chinamen cut most of it into cordwood. And then they hauled it over here to the Tualatin River and they floated it down the river to Oswego and they used that there for fuel to melt their iron ore.
You remember the Chinese?
Oh, boy. There was more Chinamen here than there was white people. I remember that. They were here. Well, let's see, the railroad went through here before my time, but not very much before. It went through here about in 85.
I think so, yeah. I was reading that biography. I forget the date. But I remember something in there about the Chinese that were...
And they done most of the railroad building. The road.
I know of places like Seattle and Tacoma, they were up there. They weren't treated too well. People would ride them out of town after dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I can still remember they had them long queues, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Portland, that was a big Chinatown there.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, that was there yet up until, in 1905, that's when the Lewis and Clark Fair was in Portland. There were a lot of them there then, yeah.
Isn't Montgomery Ward, is that building, is that a carryover of the fair?
No.
What was that?
The fair was located up there on Giles Lake. They called it Giles Lake, but that's all filled in now. They got railroad yards in there, and they got great big buildings in there. I remember when that was a lake in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are really, really sorry about the fact that we've covered over all those, like, Solvay Island and all that. Now, most of the people out here were, the town was very big, was it?
Sherwood?
Yeah. There was a little Smockville yet, wasn't it?
They called it Smockville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was still Smockville.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know anything about the man that gave it the name, Sherwood, do you?
Well,
that was
1893. That was in 1893?
I believe so, or 1892.
In 1892, that's the year I was born.
Oh.
But 1893, I'll tell you, I heard so many things about that. These old-timers that were here, like Galbert, old Joe Galbert, he was the oldest man here, and he had about 300 acres here. He fell heir to it. He married a woman that fell heir to it, and then he got it, see?
Uh-huh.
And he used to tell me that that when the railroad went through here, that I think was about 1885, the Smock had a big house there in Sherwood, right near where the old station. You know where the old station was there in Sherwood?
That's the one that's there now?
It's an old one. It's still there.
Yeah.
Well, they were just across the street from that, in that corner. It was a great big two-story house. And when the train went through there, the freight train, they always stopped and they'd eat their meals there. This is Smock and Fino, see?
Oh, I see.
She, of course, got paid for it, I guess. And she had a son, his name was Lee Smock, and I remember the day he got killed. He was a brakeman on the freight train, and he got killed up at Whiteson, up the valley there. And I was just a little kid, but came with some of the older boys here, with the Galbert boys and the Briscoes. We went up to see him when they brought him in, And there was an undertaker in Sherwood by the name of Iman at that time. That was his last name. And he started to take care of him, and then Smox didn't like it or something, and took him to Oregon City. They had the funeral from Oregon City. And that was about in, it was the turn of the century. I can't tell you exactly the year, but I think it must have been about in 1904. I think it was about 1904 when that happened. Anyway, he was killed there. And after that, Mrs. Smart, she didn't care to have him stop there because it made her feel bad because her boy wasn't stopping or anything. But anyway, there was one of the brakemen on there that used to stop there too, and his name was Charlie Sherwood.
Now that's, I'll be there.
That's what this here man Galbert used to tell me, see? He used to tell me that. Anyhow, I don't remember that, you see. I was pretty strong.
Okay.
And I didn't go to Sherwood in them days much, you know, but he was up there every day. He was quite a drinker, and he was in the saloon door and places like that. And anyway, every time he come to Sherwood, he'd get on a drunk, this year, break my word, you know. So they named it Sherwood after him, he says. Now I don't know if that's so or not. I don't know that.
There. Oh, I had a gun, okay. Now, I know my parents, my grand folks, they spoke a sort of a odd sort of language. It was sort of a mixture of English and German. Did you remember anything at all about how you spoke to your parents? What language you used? Did you speak Italian and English together?
Yeah, I can still speak Italian.
Oh, you can?
Just as good as I can English and read and write it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm the only one in the family that can.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have something you'd like to say in Italian, or do you have a poem or something, or a little, some sort of story that you used to tell or used to hear?
Maybe. No, I can't think of it. Yeah? No, they wouldn't understand it anyhow.
Well, that's all right. I like the language. It's an interesting language because it's, the words are easy to rhyme.
Well, yeah, that in Spanish is quite a bit like.
Uh-huh.
I understand real Spanish pretty good.
You can understand Spanish and
yeah. Not real good, but I can make it out pretty well. It's not much different than Italian.
Yeah.
That is, the Mexican language is a little bit, it's not quite like the real Spanish language.
You've known people who spoke the real Spanish?
Well, yes, I have.
Here in this area?
No, I met some of them that was from Portland, I guess he was, coming to be around. There used to be quite a lot of Italians here in them days, too. And then at the old Italian families, there was Brasesco.
Yeah.
He was one of the oldest here. He had two boys and one girl. And then there was Podesto, Louis Podesto. And then there was Billy Baracco and Joe Jacquero. They were all old timers. They've been gone from here ever since 1907. Brasesco had.
They were out here then in this area before you came.
No.
They came
a little bit after, just a little bit after. But then there was Davy Righetto, and he cleared most of this swampland down here, this beaver dam, you know, and farmed it, raised onions there.
Uh-huh.
And he was considered the onion king. In them days, this was about the only place they raised onions here, and Beaverton. You heard of Beaverton?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you ever heard of Fannels.
No.
That's down by Progress right there. There's some onion land in there. Then we're about the first raised onions in those places. And then this guy, Righetto, moved out of here in 1909. Went over to Beaverton, and he died over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, then there was quite a few other Italians here, too.
Now, could you understand each other? Would you call it a colony that came out together, or did
no.
they all come out on their own?
No. You know, the Italian language is a funny language. Every little town has got a different talk. And I guess the German's quite a bit the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can understand nearly all of them. I worked around them so much with the Italians.
Yeah, I've heard it's a real problem. Provinces.
I know a lot of people can't understand, but I can understand nearly all. But I cannot understand the South Italians very good.
Uh-huh.
Those Sicilians, you've heard of them.
Yeah.
I can't understand them very good. I don't care too much about it. See, I don't care for that mafia gang, you know, that black
man. Yeah, I get to stay away from me.
Yeah. You know, and outside of that, I always figured they were pretty good, honest people. Mm-hmm. Not quite I was descended from them.
But, there's a lot written about it, about Italy now. They say the people are, it's different from, the people are different because they're always fighting with each other. The things they call each other just can't be translated. There's no, you know, it's just sort of an art form or something. I don't know. It's something they do. I don't know if maybe that's
why. I don't think all of those there Sicilians are bad people, though, far as that goes. But they've got that reputation of being in the black hand business, you know, in the mafia, they call it.
Yeah. Well, of course, that was supposed to be a protective sort of thing for the Italian immigrant, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it actually, wasn't that really what how it started?
Well, and this here place down here is called Saipo.
Is that how you pronounce the word, Saipo?
The right way to pronounce it is Cipolla.
Cipolla.
That's Italian.
Yeah, Cipolla. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, Cipolla. And that used to be called Sandpit, that there place there. There was a station there, and they called it Sandpit. Mm-hmm. Then I think about 1901, I think it was, they changed the name to Saipo. Mm-hmm. This here Righetto, he lived right by the railroad station there, and he had sent to Italy to have his wife come over here and his daughter. And he wanted to change the name to Rosa, Santa Rosa, because his daughter's name was Rosie, see? Uh-huh. And they didn't have much use for him for some reason. And so that was the train crew, you know.
Oh.
So he was talking to them all the time about changing that name. Then they asked him how they pronounce onions in Italian, you know, because they were shipping so many out of there all the uh-huh. time. You know, every day they were shipping onions out of here. And he told them, so he said, well, we'll name it that.
So the railroad uh-huh. gave you the name.
So they did. They named it Saipo. And that's what it's been by that name all the time. It's just like Smartville, you know. Yeah, and I could tell you maybe a little bit about the school that used to be up here on the hill here. You ever hear about that?
No, there was a Yale, what do you call that?
They called it Yale College.
Yale College. It was supposed to be a pretty good broader reputation.
Yeah,
well, well, I would like to know about that because I've seen is the name in the history, and that was it.
Well, it's set right there where Dick Grumman's house sits now.
Oh.
There's where it was. And that was Sherwood and Saipo school combined. It was mm-hmm. one school for the two districts.
Mm-hmm.
And
you went there?
Huh?
You go there?
No, no. No, they built in 1892, the year I was born, they split the district, built one school in Sherwood and one down here that's on my place right now yet down here.
There's a building there?
Yeah. It's pretty well rotted down though now.
You can't see it from the road.
Yeah, you can. It's right up near the railroad track on my place.
Oh, absolutely.
I bought that in 1926. I bought that there and I left it stand there and fell up. Brought her down now. Yeah. And anyway, up here at this here school, it's interesting. I have some records of it that I got when I bought that school down there. There was a lot of the records that they had transferred from there and brought them down there. And I took them and I got, I think, a register or two. Somebody.
They showed you the records right with the building, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, they was as high as 65, I think, and 70 with in a one-room school in them days. And the way they... And they only had one grade, up to the eighth grade, you know.
Uh-huh.
And one teacher done it all for $30 a month.
Yeah.
That's what they got. It tells all about it. And the way they did the teachers, one week I'd take them and board them. Then the next week they'd go to your place and board for a week. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they did it.
Yeah. And how long would the teacher stay around? What do you mean?
I don't know, but the way it looked to me like they had a different teacher every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, because I remember my Uncle Raymond telling about that school, the parochial school by the Lutheran Church, and he was saying that there'd be grown men coming in there as eighth graders. You know, they never had the time to learn to read or anything.
No, they
didn't. You know, that might be an exaggeration, but some of those kids were bigger. They didn't like teachers. They just...
Oh, yeah. I went to school up here. That's the only school I went to up there. And there was kids coming to school there that was 20, 21 years old. That's the truth.
And they had grades?
Huh?
Did they have grades?
Grades?
Yeah. I mean, did they have first grade, second grade?
Oh, yeah.
They did divide it.
Yeah. They went by readers, they didn't call them grades. He was in the first reader, I was in the second reader, he was in the fourth reader, fifth reader. That's what they did in those days.
If you never went to school there?
Not up here, no. I did over here.
Oh, at this other one that you own now. Now, let's see, you went to school in what year then? You started out as a first reader?
Yeah, I started school when I was 5 years old.
Yeah, well, that's about right. That's where they do it now.
Well, in kindergarten, yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't have it kindergarten then. No. I had a hard time, though, when I started school. I couldn't say a word in English. See, my folks talked that time.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know one word in English. And, the boys used to tease me, you know. But it didn't take me long.
How many kids were like you that way? How many other kids couldn't speak? What was the language, English? What the teacher spoke? The teacher didn't know any language but English?
Yeah, that's all that the teacher knew. It might have been some of them could speak German. I don't know now. But they never did, that I know of.
Now, you didn't know other kids in the school that spoke German?
You mean Italian?
Or Italian. Did you know other kids that spoke Italian?
Not right then, when I started, but then seven or maybe 4 or 5 years later, there was one boy came from Italy there, and boy, he had a time, too. And he was about 14, 15 years old, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, he's had a lot of fun with him. Yeah.
Yeah. You could talk to him, though.
Oh, yeah. I could talk to him. Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that, because they always speak of the German settlement, but they never speak of the Italians here. Uh-huh. I think that's a story that should be told.
Yeah. So I guess we're the only Italian family around here.
You're the only one left?
Yeah.
Notice it's kind of unusual in this day and age to have all three generations living right on the same place. That seems like it must be kind of nice to have everybody so close.
Yeah, we're all pretty close together. One of my sisters lives in Sherwood. Maybe you knew her. They have a store at Six Corners there, Riser.
Oh, yeah.
That's my sister.
Oh, it was?
Uh-huh. Her husband died last year.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
A year ago in December.
Didn't he have a son or something that died in a car accident?
No, that was
grandson.
That was his grandson.
Yeah.
Grandson. Bobby Riser. Yeah, down there.
Yeah, I remember the Riser store real well because they had a TV set up there. They kept it going all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you stand there and watch the TV set, and they'd be checking the groceries out, and they'd tap me on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
But something else I was going to... What did this area look like? You said the swamp had to be cleared. What did the swamp look like?
Well,
what about wildlife? Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah, there was you know what buckbrush is?
No.
It don't get very tall, and it grows awful thick. It had a lot of buckbrush on it, and willow trees, and ash trees, mostly, and a few cedar trees, things like that.
Cedar trees.
Uh-huh. But most of it was cleared when I can remember, but there was some to clear yet. I know my father cleared some of it.
If you went out and looked out in that direction, maybe 60 years ago? What would it look like out there?
You couldn't see the highway from here.
You couldn't see the highway.
No, it's all trees and brush.
All trees.
Uh-huh. It's that old. When me and my wife moved down here, that was in 1926. No, it was in 26 when I bought this place. I bought this place in 1926. 60 acres I bought at that time here. And then when we got married, we moved down here. And the only thing we could see here was the blue sky. We couldn't see out the trees all around us, just like that.
Yeah, but they were around the swamp. The swamp was cleared.
Oh, yeah, the swamp was cleared. I know that, but we couldn't see down to the swamp on account of the trees.
Yeah, where our house was.
Well, why don't you come on in here and tell me about what happened after you guys got married? When did you get married?
Well, I'm in the cookie business, right?
Well, you're in the cookie business. It's not fair.
they know all about everything, so.
Well, you got married then, and how old were you then when you got married?
Let's see. I've been married about 46 or 7 years, I guess. Yeah.
And you build this house, or?
Yeah.
Well, you did.
I didn't build it myself.
Oh.
I did all the concrete work and all of that. I used to do quite a bit of that work.
Yeah, but we didn't live in this when we got married. We had another new house.
Yeah, I had another new house. We had another house. Me and my brother built that. And it's setting up here on the hill, across from Dick Grumman's place there. Right across from him, from his place, that nice little house that sits in there.
A white house next to Ballsinger.
Yeah.
Oh.
They moved it up there. I sold it.
They moved it up there.
Mm-hmm. It was a 5-room house.
How high has this water ever gotten out of here? Have you ever been worried about the water getting up here to the house? Or?
Not this house, no. But the other house, we got pretty worried one time. We packed it, had everything packed to move out, and the water came right up to the door, but the next day it started to go down. But the highest I've seen it here was in 33 and in 34, both years, it came up pretty near to my barn down here. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is another thing I always wondered about. I've heard people saying back in about 1912 or something like that, they used to take the cows out in April. They say the weather was different. It was warmer. Is that just an unusual year that they remember? I remember too. My dad used to watch it. He used to sit out there on the front porch and watch the thunder clouds going down the Columbia River. You know, it'd be a thunderstorm almost every night. Uh-huh. Weather is a little different, isn't it?
Well, it is different, yes. It's quite a bit different. We used to get colder weather here, too, in the wintertime than we have here lately. It used to get pretty cold here. In fact, I've seen this here swamp freeze over that people from Portland would come out here and skate here. Yeah. Skate on the ice here. Just full of people here skating.
That hasn't happened.
Well, it happened here when when was it, Gerda, that car got...
Oh, yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember, very long ago. Yeah. They could skate it.
Very long ago, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I walked across the Tualatin River on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that's the truth. And my father, that's before I was born, he told me that he used to drove a wagon with horses across the river there in Portland. On the Willamette.
I've heard that story.
He did that. And he had pictures of it. And I think your dad did too, didn't he, Gerda?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, he hauled bricks across there. He told me he was working for a brickyard and he'd deliver bricks and go across on the ice with the loaded brick. Yeah. So that's getting pretty cold.
Yeah, that is. And now you'd say that there is a difference then.
Yeah, there's a difference. There's lots of difference, I think.
Yeah, snow almost every year, maybe?
Huh?
Do you have snow every year?
Yeah, we used to. The last big snowstorm we had here that I remember that real well was in 1943. And that year it was pretty deep and stayed quite a while. But we have snow pretty near every year. This year we haven't had hardly anything.
No, we got a few mixed with rain.
This
has been unusual for the wind.
Yeah. Yeah, we had more wind though this year than we have had, I think, during the winter time.
It's been an unusual year, I think.
Yeah.
When summer Do you recall at all when the seasons would change? Now this is another question. That summer seemed to start earlier and last longer.
Well, I don't know if it lasted. I don't know if it lasted any longer or not. But it started earlier in the spring.
Yeah.
We could get on this land down here. See, that's pretty wet land, you know, down here.
Yeah.
And we could get on there. I remember planting onions on there in March. Now some years we can't get them in there till May.
And you did this from
in Sherwood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was really something.
Yeah.
There's a dance hall there.
Out there in Langer's Grove. That's the one you have reference to?
No, I didn't know about that one. That
was an old dance hall there. But I never did go to the dance there. But I run the dance hall in Sherwood for 5 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That was famous for its floor.
It's
a beautiful hardwood floor.
Yeah, it had palm trees in it. And then, it was a pretty place, you know. It had maple floors. Yeah, I run that for 5 years.
Well, you're right.
I didn't own it. I run it for Lawrence McConnell.
Well, excuse me, what was his name?
Lawrence McConnell. He was the postmaster there for 20-some years or more in Sherwood. Yeah. Yeah, and I run the ball club in Sherwood too.
Baseball?
5 years of that too.
Yeah. Now, is it true that they sent some of those ball players to the major league?
You mean Del Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew Dale real well.
Did he play with the Detroit Tigers, is that right?
Huh?
Did he go and play with the Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, he played with Portland, he played with Oakland, and he played with San Francisco. And from here, he went to Helena, Montana. Went to start with. Finally, ended up in Detroit. He was their catcher. For Detroit, and then he played in the World Series, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't win, but then
he
got to be in the World Series.
There was he was the only one that ever made it that far?
Yeah, it was Bert, Tom, Chick. Chick was as good a ball player as Dell was, maybe better, but he didn't have it up here. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a hit.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good ball player. He was my catcher when I ran the club up here.
Did you play on the team? I heard it was a pretty good team.
Yeah.
It was the best in the country.
I had two brothers on the team. Sam and John both played on the team. I had so many different pitchers. It was all fenced in, the park was, you know. And there was a nice grove there with a cannery.
Where the cannery is?
On this side right there. And then they sold it, and I hate to see that go. It was such a nice, shady place there, you know, and it was all fenced, you know, board fence around it. And we used to have big crowds. We'd take in as high as $150 every Sunday.
Yeah, every Sunday.
Uh-huh. And they only charged 2 bits.
You remember the players? I remember there was a parrot on the team, wasn't there?
Freddie Parrott was a...
Some of these people, they almost seemed like, must have been giants. They had mountains named after them.
Yeah, Freddie Parrott, he was a good ball player and a nice, fine man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a nice man. And then there was the Todd boys.
Uh-huh.
And you heard of them probably. The Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and then there was the Baker boys. They were good ball players.
And they were all lived here?
Yeah, they're mostly up on the hill up there, you know.
Yeah.
And then we had another guy playing on there by the name of Board, Bob Board. He died. He died 1956. He died young. He was quite a ball player too.
Is he the same fellow that had the fruit stand down the road?
He was his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Uh huh. And let's see who else we had. Oh, it had so many different ones that played there. I did. We should be in the league, you know. And we played for the championship of the state 2 different years, but we didn't win. We only got beat by 1 score one time, and I think 3 or 4 the other. I still got my record.
Are you sure we never won the state championship?
No, we never won it. But we beat the best teams, semi-pro teams out of Portland, though.
Oh.
Yeah, we beat them. The Port of Portland had the best one year we beat them.
Oh, some of those kids from...
But we used to play the Indians from Grand Round.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Indians.
Yeah, but they wasn't too much.
You don't remember too much about Indians. They were there. Was there much in... there's a lot of... I know my uncles used to dig up arrowheads out there.
Oh, yeah. We used to get lots of them here every year in the Beaver Dam.
Wonder why that was. I wonder why there were so many.
Well, why there were so many here. Where did your brothers dig them up at?
Oh, you dig them up over at the creek bottom over there.
Uh-huh. They always stay around where there'd be ducks and things around the water, see? That's why they're here. That's what I think. Yeah, I found some...
There must have been a heck of a lot of Indians.
No, I don't remember any Indians around
here.
Yeah,
you don't remember.
Now, I used to see them go from Grand Round, from the coast, they'd go to Oregon City in the spring when the salmon was running, you know, to catch salmon, you know.
They over at Oregon City?
Uh-huh. They'd go through here on horses, you know.
Was there any?
And most of the time they camped right down here by the farm, put near where the cemetery is, along this side.
Did they dress like...
They dressed about like we did.
Yeah.
Some were painted up a little.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What about gypsies? We talked about the Chinese, we talked about Indians. Do you remember the gypsies?
Oh, yeah, I remember the gypsies. There used to be lots of them.
Yeah.
You had to watch them.
They were amazing.
They would steal anything they could get their hands on.
Or is it? I remember stories a fella owned a meat market, and they'd come in, they wanted to pay a certain price for something, and he said, no, it's not enough. You don't have enough money, so the guy would go out and he'd barter around with some other people, and he'd come back and he'd have the money. They had a talent for that.
Yeah.
But they never camped here, that you remember?
Oh, yeah, they used to camp right up here in Langer's Grove, they called it.
Is that right?
That was right there where, there was where the service station is on this side, you know, there where the TV outfit is.
Uh-huh.
Right in there, that was all... fir trees grow there, and he's camped there.
Just on a regular...
Yeah, they stay there some time a week at a time. They travel with wagons and horses in them days.
What does the wagons look like? Were they ordinary?
Yeah, and they had them covered, some of them, you know.
They were sheltered.
And then later on, they travel in cars, and they didn't travel in small ones either. They had Cadillacs, most of them.
Yeah, they still do. Portland still has a lot of gypsies.
Yeah, I know they
do. It seems like they never, they may as well be out walking in the middle of the desert somewhere as walking around downtown. The kids are yelling at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
Running this way and that. Did you ever run across any? Did you ever meet any?
Oh, yeah, they used to come out here and want to tell you a fortune, you know.
Oh?
You had to watch them when they get the hand in your pocket and get your money, too.
Yeah?
You bet. They were mostly ladies that did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They finally moved out with the cars, and there was never any people around here didn't get too upset about having them around, and I mean...
Well, a lot of them complained this and that, you know, but they used to go out and, you know, they used to... You wasn't raised on a farm, though, was you?
Not really.
No.
It was on a truck.
But you probably heard about these binders they had when they used to bind you.
They'd go up to their
knife
and steal
the grain.
It's not like any other land. You can take a run of boat on 25 feet down here.
Well, when you're through the plague, they leave.
The plague only comes about that deep. And you're Beaver Dam, and that vegetation all rotted up.
That's what you call Beaver Dam.
The problem of land is in Beaver Dam is plague.
The top of it is, brother, yeah, but underneath is Beaver Dam. Clear down.
How does vegetation get underneath the clay? How does all that vegetation get underneath the clay?
Well, that was all Beaver Dam when I was a boy, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, but then if you work it, it turns into clay.
Yeah.
But it didn't go down too far. This far, where there's a lot of moisture, it don't turn into clay. This wood gets dried out.
So that's pretty rich soil.
Oh, I'll say so. Yeah. Yeah, that soil has always, ever since I can remember, you could never buy any of this beaver dam down here where they raise onions for less than $1,000 an acre. Yeah, I still remember the brickyard in Sherwood, too.
That's another thing, yeah. Some people said that that Robert Alexander owned the brickyard. Now, you never heard of it.
But I do know when they were still running it, at lunchtime, you'd always hear their whistle up there.
Oh, yeah.
You blew the whistle for lunch. And then we quit working with the beaver dam down here. And we'd eat onions, and we have to get on our hands and knees to eat onions. And then days they don't do that anymore. Now they use spray. They spray to kill the weeds.
You don't weed onions anymore?
We use a stick with a kind of like a hook to go along and cut the weeds out, like that. Yeah. But we used to have to get on our hands and knees and saw. I think they had 4 or 5 saloons in
Sherwood.
Ooh, there's a fight there every Saturday you get the insurance to be in. Nothing but fight. Yes.
What about the story of two guys getting a gunfight?
A gunfight? That is an honor, brother, I guess. Pretty heavy drinker in the saloon there, and he's always getting in an argument, he'd pull a gun out. So he didn't shoot, see? But anyhow, there was a guy by the name of Aldry Field. He was supposed to be related to Spock, but anyway, he made up his mind that he was going to get down on him, he's going to get him first. And, well, anyhow, he didn't have them done, and he went to a man there. I kind of hate to have this here, but
we can have it out anyway,
I don't know, I didn't see it,
yeah.
But I was told by people that was there how it was.
Yeah.
Well, he went to a guy that I know real well, and told him he wanted to borrow his gun. This guy had a butcher shop there at the time. He was a partner in the butcher shop there. And he had a .45, and he asked me, what do you want to do with it? I want to kill a darn mean dog. He said, he's always bothering me, I'm going to kill him. If I can get the gun, why don't you loan me the gun? So, well, this guy, I don't know whether he had him on or what, he got into a quarrel with him, and he let me kill him, and he pulls out his gun and shot. But he didn't die right away. They took him to Portland. I think they hung him to Portland on the first train. The freight train came along before the passenger train. And the freight train always carried one coach to carry passengers too. They didn't have so many trains here in
Edmonton. They
called it the red electric? No, that was way before the red electric. Yeah. Then when they had the red electric, there was one about every hour. That's, I guess, when your father went to school.
Yeah, he didn't remember.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened? You gotta get shot.
Anyway, they took him to Portland and he died.
Yeah, they were great guys, I'll tell you that.
I was just telling Gerda that tomorrow would have been Theodore's birthday. Theodore was the one that he held his neck kind of like this.
Yeah.
You've heard about that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. There was something wrong. I think he must have had a problem in himself.
I remember his
tomorrow would be his birthday. He's born on this week year.
Oh, yeah.
29th, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to have a party then.
Yeah. And they'd come down there and with the other ladies and clean up the house. And then they'd have a dance, you know. And they'd have a keg of beer all the time.
They'd have a dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was just, you had a dance. What year would that be? The Prague would have been.
Well, it was some kind of a German dance that Theodore and Carla danced together when they get half drunk, you know. Oh, boy, I probably had more fun than I don't know. And so, Theodore and Carla was a pretty good claim that when he comes from Tina, the recording, he was a claim man. He wasn't too bad, but he was pretty fair. But Theodore didn't think he explained it right, so let him explain. He gets it, and he was feeling pretty good, he kept a pulling, he pulled it apart. I had to go up there, they'd come and tell me, now you got to come there. Oh, there'd be full house there. Everybody had a big time. We had plenty to eat, we used to bring all the time. I think he used to bring cake for us 2 days ago.
Well, they furnished
most of it, yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they were nice guys.
There was a sleepwalker.
I don't think he did that. I know I used to take him to the doctor in Portland here. And all three have to go along. They used to be nice down here, and there'd be showers come up, you know, and they had umbrellas, and they'd put their umbrellas up on their hands, you know, on their hands and knees.
Well,
it's
not too unusual to carry umbrellas.
They always had umbrellas, though. Wherever they went, they carried an umbrella.
Then
Carl, you know, lost his leg, you know, at the last. He had, I guess that'd be it. Anyway, Theodore, Carl couldn't get around with his one leg very good, you know.
Yeah.
And Theodore was going to show him, he's feeling pretty good, you know. They liked to drink, but they wouldn't get Claire drunk. It's always kind of their business, but they liked to drink a little. He was going to show him how to go, you know. And he took that and started hopping around with his crutch, and he fell down and couldn't get up. His brother was going to show that guy that had his leg off, you know.
There was too late to go down.
Yeah, he laid down there. He couldn't get up for a while. I guess finally got up, maybe. But Carl laughed at him to do everything. Oh, they got along good together. They never was married, you know. Anyway, they got along real good. I don't know either.
There were some ones on it, Mike. There was another one.
Herman.
Herman?
Yeah.
You remember those guys?
Oh, yeah. I remember them all.
This is Ed Greenwald. He is George Councilman's daughter. And Richard Councilman, you know him?
Yeah.
Well, their dad was George Councilman.
I guess he was the biggest one of the... He was Uncle Herman recalls that he had a laugh that was...
He was a big man.
Yeah.
I seen that guy eat a ham putting it one time by himself. And he'd go to the... He hauled lumber mostly, is what he did with horses, you know. And he'd get the show, and he'd have to go to the saloon, you know, and drink a little beer. And then he'd go with the butcher shops and get him a great big bunch of hamburger, and he'd eat it raw.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
That's probably kill him.
Well, I know somebody that can heat it on now, maybe. Not in this house, but they don't live too far away.
Well, that's not, you can get up
a... Well, beef won't hurt you to eat it that way if you like it. I don't
know. Is that
right? No, pork could kill you.
I don't
want
any.
Well, anyhow, George, the councilman, I gave him a ride from Sherwood. I think it was in 1923. He was up there paying his taxes, and he asked me how I was up there. I told him up there in my car. Then I ride home with you, he said. I said, all right. So he rode home with me, and then that night, I think he died.
Oh.
He just dropped off dead, heart attack. And John died that way, too, heart attack, didn't he?
Yeah, they found him dead and dead.
Yeah. John, you know then where Benny's place was then?
Yeah, I was wondering where the mill was.
The mill was just below there.
Right.
Yeah, about a quarter of a mile.
Down there, a little further down that road.
We used to go, when we were kids, they had the mill pond down there, yes. And they had an old log that was just a half old log. And it was in the mill pond, and we used to go down there and ride on that log with poles. We'd pull it around like a boat in the mill pond.
And
they
had a mill pond. Yeah, well, there they had...
No,
it was on a creek
then. Yeah. The water came from a creek into it. They used to put out good lumber off of...
Oh, there was Mrs. McSimmons, who's an in-law of them. She brought some of the old pictures over. I don't have them now, but they had some pictures of that old lumber and stuff all piled up there.
Mm-hmm.
They had the whole work crew. You might even have known some of the people in that picture.
Well, my mother used to help cook in the cookhouse when the mill was in operation.
That was sort of a little one-room shack, wasn't it? Is that right? With a porch on the front?
No, the cookhouse was bigger than when I remember. It was quite a bit bigger than... Maybe it only had one room inside, but it wasn't really small.
It was built out of 1x12s, I know.
Yeah.
But I never used to...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible, because, you know, after building helping my dad build that house, you know, 2x12, 1x12, that's a straight grain. You can't buy lumber like that now.
Uh-uh.
Anything with a knot in it, they just threw it out.
Yeah. In them days, yeah, but now they take most anything. And they used to sell it for 10 cents a cord, standing, and people would cut it to make wood out of it. 10 cents a cord. Think
ten
of that.
10 cents a cord.
Yeah. The boys used to tell me that. Yeah.
Do you ever count rings on the trees?
Yeah.
How far back did you get? Do you ever remember? I bet you got back to close to 700 years in some of those.
I don't remember no more. That big tree of ours up here, good, I cut down, you know, that the wind broke the top out of it. It was about 7 feet through. That was a big one. The biggest one was on the plate.
7 feet from one side to the other?
Right across it, you know, like this.
Yeah, that,
if I laid down next to it, it'd still be a foot taller than I would be. If I just stood next to it, it'd be a foot taller than me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I see one 12 feet across.
12 feet.
Right down here at Tualatin. But it was broken off. The wind had broken off. It's so old. And I don't know if it stands anymore or not. It was on Mark Massey's place. He was an Italian too, Mark Massey. It was on his place. He was an old timer here. And
cut that all down with hand saws?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You ever did do that?
Oh, did I?
Lots of things.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose were you affected by the Depression? Do you remember anything unusual about that?
Yeah, it made good money.
Oh?
That's right, he did. Yeah, it just happened. It was a good business that year.
Didn't
bother us a bit, no. And everybody made good money off of the onions that year.
Well, some years we didn't.
Oh, yeah, some years we didn't have it so good. Oh, I can't complain. Onions has been awful good to me. I can say that much. I wasn't in it like my boy is. He had over 100 carloads this year, I guess.
Wait, did it all go to Portland?
No, a lot of it went to Japan.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He shipped lots over there. How many, about 40 or 50 car loads, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know how many car loads, but...
She knows more than I do, because she's been working up there.
I think he shipped between 50 and pounds of the test.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Then he shipped lots to Portland and California and Chicago and New York, Pennsylvania. Oh, he's got quite a nice outfit up there.
Oh, what about?
Yeah, that income tax is quite a thing, all right. But you got to do it. But if you're paying income tax, you're making a little money too. So if you didn't have to pay no income tax, you wouldn't be making nothing either. You know what I mean? No, if you have to pay an income tax, you got something left for yourself too.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean, don't you?
But if you didn't pay any income tax,
you're not making anything.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Now, I was wondering though, if you could all of a sudden go back to when you were 10 years old, what differences would you see? Would somebody told you that maybe someday you'd fly through the air in an airplane, would you believe them in 10 years?
They used to talk about it in them days already, that they would be flying.
Yeah.
Flying machines, they call them, and then they didn't call them flying machines.
The airplane.
Yeah.
Or the idea that you'd be able to watch a man walking on the moon.
Yes, I never could have believed that, but it happened.
Yeah. Very rocky. It's unusual to see a lot of rock around this country.
Well, I'll tell you, the rock starts here on my place down here. There's no rock down here, you can't find a one in the Beaver Dam here.
Yeah.
Starts here, and it goes to Wilsonville, the rock that clear over to Wilsonville. There's just a strip through there.
Is that right?
Well, now you take from here, you go up on my other place, there's 100 acres between my place, this place, and my other place up here. And up there, it's all sand. You can make concrete with it.
Is that right?
Plaster houses with it. Yeah.
Over
that's
here,
it's that's what,
isn't it?
This here is, I got an irrigation well out here. It's one of the best there is in the country, I guess. They put a test on there, they run it 85 hours, night and day, without stopping. And it's only 144 feet deep.
Oh my God.
And that there well, in that time, they pumped out 480 gallons a minute for 85 hours, and then they had 40 feet of water yet to go.
Oh, gee. Well, that's a well.
Yeah? And we irrigate all the land with it from down here. I got a big stream down here.
When was that well dug?
Huh?
When was the well dug? Was it dug during a dry year at one time?
No, it was dug in, I think, in 60, let me see, about 6 or 8 years ago. When?
I think it was done in
68.
68, I think.
Yeah. What time do you eat? Am I getting in on your...
No.
Your...
When you get old, you don't need much to eat.
Well, that's the advantage of getting old. I just...
Oh, I don't know about that.
For different farmers, but...
Rick said they used to make a show. It was pretty good, weren't they?
Well, they took the prize at the St. Louis Fair.
Oh. I suppose a lot of buildings in Portland are built with those bricks, huh?
Yeah. That house I got up above there, the basement's all built out of sherry bricks. Got a basement under it, all bricks.
Yeah.
And the fireplaces and all of that. No, they made good bricks up there. Then the Gardner brothers, they made cigars. You know where the cleaning place is there in Sherwood?
Yeah.
There was a two-story building there at that time. And there was a saloon underneath it, and up above they had their cigar shop in there where they made cigars. And quite a few of the boys from around here learned the cigar trade in there.
Is that right? That's an odd industry for up here. I guess it was just cheaper to get the raw materials and make the cigars here.
Yeah, and then from there they moved to Portland, and uh-huh. They had a cigar shop in Portland there on First and Madison, I think it was. And had a saloon down there. Gardeners were, I think they were German boys. And I knew one of their boys, Eddie Gardner.
Livery stable, and it's right there.
The livery stable was right there where the barber shop is now. It was a great big building right there. That was the livery stable.
And all these drummers have come out here, you know. You know what a drummer is, these guys, they call them drummers that used to go around and call on
medicine
all the
shows
and stuff like that. They'd always stop there and hire livery teams to haul them to different places, like over the shows, or where there was no railroad, you know, they'd have them hired there. And so Higgy run that livery stable in them days. And it was a big building. And then a good spot right down there where Dr. Saylor, did your dad ever talk about Dr. Saylor? I think he was there.
No.
Huh?
Yeah, a real doctor.
Yeah, there was a real doctor, but he wasn't too much of a doctor.
Say, don't say anything, you saw him getting on there.
Well, his man's
quiet.
Dead, so, you know.
Yeah, but I shouldn't
say. As far as people are,
but
people
anyway,
are gone.
Anyway, my father always had that doctor, too, as far as that goes. I don't know, I didn't go.